Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Oh, I'm a little stuffy. Seems like allergies happen, and it is that time of the year. The weather report is anticipating snow in March, when we had almost 80 degree weather just last week. Who knows what Mother Nature is thinking? But one thing I do know, my daffodils are blooming. The muscari is blooming. There are crocus dotting my garden. And no, I have not completely taken all of the debris from last year away from the garden. Why not? Because I am protecting all of the beneficials that are safely tucked into the soil or under leaves. I'm making sure that they are going to be there when the garden officially comes to life. Now, I had an experience this week with a tree and some mulch, and I had to talk to Mrs. Know-It-All to calm myself down. And I thought I would share that conversation with you. Here's Mrs. Know-It-All. We're chatting about trees, shrubs, perennials, the M word for mulch, and a surprise at the end. Stay tuned.
Hi, Mrs. Know-It-All. How are you?
Good, Terry. How have you been?
Well, I'm good, but, you know, all of a sudden I've got allergies, which is kind of making me miserable. But that's not the only thing making me miserable. Oh, yeah. People are planting stuff now. Trees, shrubs, other things that they're either finding at the garden centers or that they've mail ordered or whatever. And we just need to talk about that. And primarily, we need to talk about trees, shrubs, some perennials as well, but also that M word, mulching. It's driving me batty. I'm seeing beyond volcanoes now. I have to catch myself because I'm very even keeled, even tempered, but let's talk about trees right now. What do they need to know about planting trees in the spring?
Okay, so right now, the ground is still pretty wet. Once we have some dry weather where the soil is still moist, but it's not, you know, when you grab a handful and squeeze it and water runs out, no, that's too early to plant. You also need the soil to warm up a little bit at any rate. So there are a couple of trees that really prefer being planted in the spring as opposed to the fall. Even though we say fall is for planting, there are always a few exceptions. Dogwoods are one of them. Dogwoods really want to be planted in the spring. Japanese maples are another one. And there's, you know, a zillion of them, you know, in my favorite tree, you know, that and magnolias. But they act because they don't root quite as quickly as other trees, like a maple, you know, or a sycamore, they just don't root that quickly. So you've got to give them some time to, you know, get their feet planted correctly, so to speak. When you're digging the hole, you want to make the hole twice as wide as whether it's in a container or if it's balled in burlap. You want to make that hole twice as wide. Dig out any rocks that you have there. You don't want to amend the soil. That's an old wives' tale. The only thing you want to do, again, is get those rocks out. When you're digging the hole, if you have a heavier soil, what may happen is when you're digging it with a shovel, you may do what we call glazing the sides of the hole, which makes it very smooth. You need to break that up a little bit because it sort of forms like an invisible barrier in the tree won't actually push out roots through that barrier. Put it in. Do not go any deeper than the height of the tree ball. So if it's 2 foot high, you want it 2 foot high. You don't want it 3 foot high. No, you want it the same. Same for the container. You don't want to plant it any deeper than what it is. People think because you can plant like tomatoes like that, you can do that with trees, and you can't. What you want to see is what we call the root flare. So if you don't know what that is, just look at a tree that maybe Mr. Squirrel planted, because they know how to plant trees. They do, and it'll actually kind of flare out at the bottom as it goes into the ground. That's called the root flare. If you cover that up with soil or mulch, we'll talk about that, you can actually smother the tree. Yeah, so it's not going to die immediately, but over the years, it's going to continue to get weaker, fail, be more susceptible to disease, frost, any number of things can happen to it. So once you put your tree in the ground, get it straight, get your soil, backfill it. That's all you have to do is backfill it. Tamp it in with the shovel or your hands. Do not use your feet. You can actually smother the tree roots there. So that's not something you want to do. Just push it down, water it thoroughly. Keep it watered. A 1-inch caliper tree, which is typically what most homeowners will get at a garden center, maybe a little bit bigger, need at least 15 to gallons of water a week. And I know that sounds like a lot, but you don't have to do it all at once. You know, you can do 5 gallons 3 times a week. And you want to do it that it's all the way around the tree, not just in one spot. You know, so you want the roots, you want to encourage the roots to root out, you know, move away from the trunk and into the rest of the landscape by half to encourage root growth. No need to do that. That actually shocks the tree. And, you know, it's kind of like, oh, let me break your arms while you have a broken leg. Yeah. You know, that's not going to help anything. It's not going to make your leg feel any better. So that's something to remember to do. Now, when you go to mulch, people listen. When you go to mulch, 2 inches of mulch is perfectly acceptable. We do not need 5 inches of mulch climbing up the tree.
Wait a minute. Can you repeat that one more time, please? I'm sorry.
You do not want to have 5 inches of mulch climbing up the tree. That's it doesn't protect it. What it does actually is give little critters like voles and rabbits and mice a good place to hide while they're gnawing on the tree bark. And then you will end up with a dead tree. So what you want to do is 2 inches all the way around. Try to make your circle as wide as the tree drip line. As the tree grows, that drip line will actually have to be increased, but that's all you need to do with it. There's no need to stake a tree. Then other trees, like I said, 15 gallons minimum every week. Evergreens really should be planted in the fall. And one of the reasons is because we're going into cooler weather, at least we hope so. After this year, who knows?
Really?
And they have, you know, most of them have a waxy coating on their needles to protect them. And so they are much happier. They will root fine. Follow the same planting technique, you know, dig the hole twice as wide, but the same height, mulch with 2 inches, keep it watered until we have a hard freeze, not a frost, a freeze. So typically you can start planting the end of September, early October. You can plant pretty much all the way up until December, as long as the ground isn't frozen. Now, if you are in a particularly windy area, we're not staking evergreens, but you can use an antitranspirant on it to keep it from losing moisture in the needles, even though it has that protection. But read the directions on them. Most of them have to be applied above 40 degrees, and you only really do it once. And that's if it's in a really windy area. You do want to keep it watered again until you have a hard freeze.
Okay. So last chance of freeze is coming up, right?
Frost. Well, we could have, you know, who knows? We had 3 inches of snow this morning that we weren't supposed to have. It is March, you know, March comes in like a line. We were 70 degrees last week and, you know, we were 30 something today. So we don't know, but the ground is starting to thaw. So at this point, we're looking at our last frost date, which would be April, May, depending on your location. But right now, you know, the ground is still cold.
Yeah.
You know, and it's wet. It's soggy wet.
Yeah.
You know,
and here in DC, there's a potential, there's a storm watch for snow. So, you know,
there's no such thing as climate change.
Well, we can't use that word. Ha ha. It is real, people. So I guess I'm a little fired up today because people need to know how to plant things. When you go to a garden center, a reputable garden center, there are people there to advise you on how to plant things. But sometimes if you go to a big box store because you got to get that deal and you don't know, there's nothing worse, I feel, for the economy and for the big box store to have people traipsing back in with their plant that they bought in February or March saying it didn't make it. Well, were your conditions right? Did you really do the research on the who, what, where's, and why's of planting? We've got to be educated consumers when it comes to that.
So when you go to these big box stores, the people who work in the garden center area, as a rule, not always, but as a rule, they are hired by another company. It is a seasonal job for them to go in. They may be a home gardener that thought this would be a nice job to have for the summer, but they don't have any training. And these companies do minimal training. You know, the goal is to get those plants in, get them set up, get them watered, get them out the door. Even sometimes at a local garden center, there's the seasonal help that got the job that also didn't know what they were talking about. And a perfect example is my former next door neighbor bought a weeping beech. Weeping beeches are beautiful trees. There's one at Nemours in Delaware.
Yes, beautiful.
That covers almost an entire acre, one tree. Mm-hmm. This guy told them, yeah, you could plant it. It is next to his driveway. Now, we do not have estates. We are your basic suburban neighborhood. You know, there's maybe 50 foot of frontage from the house to the street. And this thing is right next to the sidewalk, the steps, and the driveway. And he said, oh, yeah, you can just prune it back to whatever size you want. And now the thing is about 30 foot high. My neighbor no longer lives there. We have new neighbors. It's a young couple. He has some health issues, so they don't do a lot of gardening. They have to pay somebody. Well, they're going to have to pay somebody big bucks to come in and take this thing out, which is a shame because it's a beautiful tree. It's just the right tree in the wrong place.
Right.
You know, so that's something people have to think about too when they're buying these things. Just like dwarf Alberta spruces. Oh, look at these little Christmas trees. I've heard it so many times. And then they get bigger. Mm-hmm. And frankly, they stink. They stink like cat pee, but they don't stay little.
Right.
They get big. They might come in a small pot. They are going to get bigger.
Right.
So, you know, that little Christmas tree can end up being another example. My dad used to buy spruces and plant one every year on my birthday. And he'd call them his little Christmas tree for me. There's only one left now, and it's 80 foot tall, towering over the house I grew up in.
Whoa.
You know, so it's like a baby. They grow up.
Yeah, they do. They do. And that's why placement. You love a tree. Figure out the placement. Is it going to make your neighbor miserable? Is it going to make you miserable because, oops, it grew too fast?
Exactly.
Think about that. Yeah, you got to really put some thought into what you're purchasing. Put some thought into where you're going to place it. And put some thought in when you should plant it, as well as care tips. What shrubs can we plant around this time of year if you're in that zone 6-7 area?
You can plant almost anything. Again, the ground has to be warmer. It's what it comes down to. Yeah, most of the ones that you're going to see now, I try to purchase plants, and it doesn't matter whether it's tree, shrub, annuals, whatever. I don't like to buy them in bloom. I realize that you see it in bloom, it's like, oh, I so want this. It's so pretty. And you get it home and you plant it, and it promptly drops all of its flower buds because it's like, what were you doing to me? I was having a good time, and now you put me in this cold place, and I just want to be warm. So I'm not going to keep my flowers on. So that's something you really need to look at, is try to buy them that they're just budding, or they've already started to drop their blooms, one or the other. If it's just blooming right then and there, it's going to be quite a shock to the shrub. The other thing is too with them, if you buy them and they're just starting to bud up, yeah, it's going to take a while longer for them to bloom, but you're likelier to get a bloom on it than if you, you know, get one that's already starting to bloom on it. Same planting method, hold twice as wide, same height, mulch. And with shrubs, obviously you're going to have a bigger drip line, or you may be putting it in a landscape bed, in which case that doesn't matter. You also have to water them. So depending on the size of the shrub, you're probably looking at about 7 gallons of water a week. And you always want to water right after you plant the plant. I don't care if it says, the weatherman says, oh, it's going to rain. Yeah, because they can't get it right. They just can't get it right. This way, you'll know that the plant water, and you should water it at least once a week unless you have at least an inch of rain, which means kind of a heavy downpour. Otherwise, get out there and water. You know, and the plant will thank you and survive and reward you next year with lots of blooms. Unless, of course, the deer eat it.
So we're watering once a week for how many weeks?
All summer.
All summer. Okay.
Yeah, you really, you need to keep those shrubs hydrated. You need to keep the root base, you know, moist. The other thing is a lot of shrubs, not all of them, but hydrangeas are a really good example. They're very shallow rooted. So are azaleas and rhododendrons. So they dry out faster than, say, maybe a viburnum. So, you know, that's what another reason you want to keep them watered.
Even the native hydrangea?
Yes. They're all, the reason hydrangeas have that name Hydra, and it actually resembles, it got the name because it resembles the Greek water vessels, not because they are a thirsty plant. But that's something Hydra and water to keep in mind, that they are shallow rooted. And you do need to keep them watered, especially if you want to have blooms.
If you don't keep a hydrangea watered, will the edges of the leaves become crispy?
Actually, you will see crispy leaves. You'll also see wilting leaves. Mm-hmm. You know, and one good way to tell when a plant needs some water, if you're not sure and, you know, you can't stick your finger into the soil like we tell people, is touch the leaves, and there's something called turgor, T-U-R-G-O-R, and it is the amount of water that is contained in the leaf structure. And so what happens is it'll feel very soft. Now, there are some plants that are going to be soft, but you can just tell from a healthy plant to one that's desperately needing water is, you know, how the turgor is in the leaf itself.
Can you correct that if you just forgot the water, went a little too long? Can you correct it?
Yes. Now, you still may have a couple leaves that kind of get brown and crispy, but the sooner you get it watered, and you want to hydrate them completely, that means all the way around the base of the plant thoroughly, and it should be okay. And, you know, make a point to water it, say, every Sunday after you come home from church. You know, I'm going to go out and water my hydrangea. You know, get into the habit of having a day or a time to do that. You can do that with all your plants, house plants, the trees.
And then the perennials will be rolling in soon. Mm-hmm. Now, planting now, plant them later. Any good tips for that?
Yeah, there's very few that you can plant now, again, because the soil's still too wet and too cold. And especially if you're working with what we call tender perennials that are marginally hardy in your area, then it may not, like if you were growing, say, gardenias. I know they're hardy for you, but they're marginally hardy you know, depending on the weather. So that's something. And let's wait till there's better conditions. Like, oh, do I want to go swimming when it's 40 degrees? No, I'll wait till it's 75 and go swimming. Kind of the same principle. You want to wait until the conditions are ready.
What if I want to put them in a container?
You can put them in a container. Keep them. You're going to have to keep them watered. You're going to want to probably, depending on the plant, keep it close to the house, to protect it from any frost coming down until you're ready to actually put it in the ground. If you're going to keep the perennial in the pot permanently, make sure you've got a big enough pot, and you're still going to have to divide it. Perennials still need to be divided every 2 to 3 years, depending on how vigorous a perennial it is. You know, that always varies. And, you know, just give it the correct conditions. But right now, you still got to protect it.
So those are the three things. You know, annuals we'll talk about later, because when we get into annuals, we're going to talk about seeds and the whole nine. However, the M word, let's talk about mulch.
So red and blue mulch are not design factors. It is not supposed to match your house. It is supposed to be an organic amendment that breaks down slowly and adds nutrients to the soil, and by way of that, your plant. 2 inches tops, that's all you really need. You can pick your poison as far as you want, triple shredded, double shredded, you want the chunky stuff, just, you know, most of the dyed stuff is pallets. And, you know, comes out of warehouse, you know, the cement was on it, you know, furniture was on it, you know, when it got to the warehouse, and then they take it and shred it. Now, a lot of pallets, not all of them, but a lot of pallets that carry food products in, whether it's flour or canned goods, are stored in warehouses. And as a result, they are treated with pesticides to keep whoever from snacking on them, hitching a ride on them. So if you want to be an organic gardener or a natural gardener, don't get that stuff. There is bag cedar mulch, and that's perfectly acceptable. Just remember that it's in a bag and you got to haul it. You know, at least with, you know, bulk mulch, you can have it dumped in the driveway or at the corner of the yard, put it in a bucket, put it in a wheelbarrow, and you can carry what you need to your bed and do it that way. I don't know who came up with the mulch volcanoes. Should we ever find it, I know a number of people that we would like to rip them limb from limb. There's no reason for volcano mulches except for the land scraper to make money off of you. Mm. The more mulch they can sell, the higher the cost. You're going to end up killing your plants, but they're going to walk away and go, I can have an extra beer tonight. It's not accepted horticultural practice at all. And we're, you know, somebody saw it and then somebody says, oh, that's a good idea. That looks nice. Also, in speaking of the mulch volcanoes, the other problem we have, and let's go back to trees and shrubs, a lot of land scrapers, because they don't have training, it's, you know, the guy, a truck and a lawnmower on the back of the truck, they will not, they'll dig a slight impression into the soil, put the tree or shrub there, and then cover it with mulch because somebody said it looked good.
Right.
No. Right. No.
And then you can literally go out there and lift the tree up. Oh,
yep.
Hurts me to my heart.
Mm. And one other thing we didn't mention, I should have, is when you're planting trees and shrubs, if it's not in a container and it's bald and burlap, you must remove all of the burlap, because not all of it dissolves. It's not all cotton. Some of it is polyester and it's never going to break down. And all the string, if it's in a wire basket, you can, you know, get wire cutters, break, you know, start cutting it down, pulling it out, as the case may be. Sometimes it's wire over burlap to keep the root ball together. If your root ball comes apart, and sometimes that does, it's nothing you've done, it's just the way the world goes, is actually just make sure it's still at that same height that we talked about, that it's not any lower. You may have to add a little bit more dirt, but you don't need to add amendments, just the soil that it was in there. Because what happens is, oh, all this nice soil's here for me to grow in. And as I get bigger, and then it's kind of like being a kid and then growing up into an adult, and you're going, what happened? That, you know, now I got to go out to work.
Right.
And that's because, you know, you've now hit the native soil. So right. That's why we don't recommend amendments. You can fertilize, but we don't recommend amendments.
Right. Right. Fertilize when they plant.
Yes. Read what it says on the label, not what you think looks good.
Reading is fundamental. That's what I learned growing up.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. Yeah. And purchasing things from a reputable garden center is important. Mm-hmm. And ask an expert. There are many experts, from garden writers to trained nurserymen, state by state.
Extension
offices. I mean, the help is there, but you have to seek the help in order to get the help. So don't just go out and do something because you saw it on a video.
Yeah.
Get the information from a reputable resource. The impression that you leave when you plant that shrub is lasting.
I like to think of like, oh, I stayed in nothing against a certain hotel. So that makes me an expert. And, you know, I saw it on TV at my hotel and now I'm doing brain surgery. Doesn't work that way.
No.
Just because you saw it on TV doesn't make it so.
Right. Right. That's where a lot of damage is done sometimes, by not asking an expert. It's so important.
Asking directions.
Yeah, exactly. Directions. That's, oh man. So on a lighter note.
Yes.
We're planning an excursion, are we not?
Yes. And we're going to have a good time. And it's a great excursion. And you'll see things that you never thought you could do in your own garden. And you don't have to have an estate.
Thank you.
To do it.
You got a small garden? We've got just a place for you to be. What are we talking about, Mrs. Know-It-All?
We're going to shuffle off to Buffalo.
Shuffling to Buffalo. That's what we're going to do. When are we going to do this?
And we're going to do that at the end of July. And I have to tell you that when I first heard we were going there several years ago with a group, I'm like, Buffalo. And, you know, I was in Buffalo decades ago and it was cold, it was dark, and I'm like, oh, why would anybody ever want to live here? And then we went a few years ago, and I have to tell you, I have been back 3 times since then for this great Buffalo Garden Walk that they do every year at the end of July.
Yes.
And there's ideas to take away that you would have never thought of in a million years. A lot of these people have postage stamps for gardens.
Yes.
And they've created these worlds in the Hobbit garden,
yes,
a Harry Potter garden. There's a Victorian garden. There's the one that he created an entire wall of a glass bottle curtain.
I love it.
Yeah. Just unbelievable ideas to take away. Buffalo, surprisingly, because I live in Pittsburgh, we have hills. Buffalo is very flat and very walkable, mm-hmm, which is always a bonus to some of us. It's really something to see, and we're going to have lots of fun. And I'll have some goodies for people too to take home with them. And we're going to see.
Let me tell you, you're going to have goodies because Denise will be bringing her friends from Pittsburgh. People in the DMV, if you'd like to meet me in Buffalo, send me an email. We've got the hotel hooked up. We've got tours hooked up. We've got underknown places in Buffalo that some Buffalo garden tours have not ventured onto before. We have curated this trip with people that live in Buffalo that are going to show us the town, and it's going to be nice. We're not going to spill all the beans right now, but if you would consider joining us as we shuffle off to Buffalo, send us an email. Mrs. Know-It-All, your email is?
Edibleflowers, the plural, the number 1, at AOL.com. Just put Buffalo in the subject line and we'll be good to go. And Terry, your email is?
Terry, T-E-R-I, @cottageinthecourt.com. Once again, put Buffalo Garden Walk in the subject line. We're working out all the details. It's going to be affordable. If you've got those flyer miles that you want to get rid of and you're not quite ready to go across the pond yet, hey, join us in Buffalo. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have laughs. You'll even get copies of my book, both of them, if you'd like. So we've got so much stuff in store. Mrs. Know-It-All, one more thing.
So there's two kind of really special places we're going to go to. One, if you're a fan of architecture, we're going to go to the Darwin Martin House, which was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Yes.
And we're also going to do the African-American corridor of gardens as well.
See, we've tried to think of most things. And then, of course, there's going to be that S word. Shopping.
Plant shopping.
Why? Because anytime you go somewhere, you should bring something back to help you memorialize the adventure that you just went on. And trust me, if you're hanging out with Mrs. Know-It-All and Cottage in the Court, it's going to be an adventure.
And we're going to have a good time.
Oh, yes,
we are. We're going to have a dinner cruise, too.
See, you can't spill all the beans yet.
I know.
But it's going to be a nice dinner cruise, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we're going to have a good time. And just so you know, Terry and I are not stuffy people, if you haven't figured that out already.
One note for the people in the DMV. It's not humid up there that time of year. It is the perfect time to escape the swamp. Trust me. So we've tried to think of most things. And then there's a wonderful shed up there in Jim Charlier's yard. Well, we're not going to spill anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
We'll be posting pictures soon.
We have some pictures. Oh, yes.
And, you know, you talked about the weather. And while we get humidity, we don't get humidity like you do. But, you know, we're right at the border of Canada. So we get a nice breeze coming through. Again, it's one of their driest months, which is why they have it. It's cool. It's not cold, but it's cool. And it's very relaxing.
Yes.
You know, it's fun. You're going to be with fellow gardeners.
Yes. Yes. So come on, consider shuffling off to Buffalo with us. Send us an email. Your email again, one more time.
edibleflowers1@aol.com. Put Buffalo in the subject line so I know you're not trying to sell me a bridge in Brooklyn.
So we're not going to Brooklyn. We're going to Buffalo. And that's Terry, T-R-I, at cottageinthecourt.com. I hope one R, and put Buffalo in the subject line. And we'll stay in touch. We're getting our list together. This is a limited engagement,
yes.
So we are not taking 100 people. We are going to have a small group garden experience. So first come, first served. We're working out the details for deposits soon, as well as final payment. So stay tuned. And next time, when we chat with Mrs. Know-It-All, we'll have more details on the shuffle. Mrs. Know-It-All, thank you for calming me down about trees today. Oh, man, really? You've never had a nightmare about a tree half covered in mulch. It really wasn't fun.
Well, I've been known to scream at people driving by when they're doing it. Funny, I haven't been arrested because I wasn't nice in that bottom either.
Well, I was nice. I did it when no one was watching. Well, I moved the mulch back when no one was watching. But I captured it on video, so you can go to my Facebook page and see the video. It's okay now. The tree prayerfully will survive. Until next time, have a great week, okay?
You too, Terry.
You know, there is nothing like having that great garden buddy that you can bounce ideas off of and share tips, hints, compare methods and practices found in gardens today. Mrs. Know-It-All
has been in this industry for quite a while. And while some things have changed, the basics remain the same. I'd like to thank her for always being here and offering advice for gardeners in our two zones. I'm more of a 7, she's more of a 6. But these two zones complement each other in more ways than one. One of the things that Frank Lloyd Wright shared with his students and as he lectured throughout the country was the joy of finding a garden that really makes you happy, that you go, oh my goodness, that's a beautiful garden. He advised anyone that would listen not to copy those gardens, but to mimic them. Well, for me, mimicking gardens that I've seen usually requires travel to go see it. We're shuffling off to Buffalo to see gardens that speak to the inhabitants of the house. Creative gardens, stunning gardens, stately gardens, and more. I do hope you consider joining us. And if you can't join us, I'd like to share a book title with you. This book is not a new book. It is a book that's been around for a bit, but it's a great read. The name of the book is Digging Deep by Fran Soren. This book fell off my bookshelf and I just stopped and I've been reading it all week. It's the greatest read and truly inspiring for gardeners of any level. Speaking of inspiring, the Great Grow Along has started. I hope you got your ticket. You'll find me next week and also on the 20th. On my website, you'll see exactly when I'm going to be there. Sharing tips, I'm not going to spoil it. Get your ticket to the Great Grow Along. I'll make sure to put the link in the show notes. Lastly, I'd like to leave you, of course, with a poem by one of my favorite writers, Jamaica Kincaid. And maybe this isn't a poem, it's just a few words. I shall never have the garden I have in my mind, but that for me is the joy of it. Certain things can never be realized, and so all the more reason to attempt them. Thank you, Miss Kincaid. All the more reason to attempt the things that I might never have thought about before. In the garden, in my garden travels, and as I write. Well, Black Flora has hit the stands, and a little birdie told me that the Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City, will be hitting the stands any day now. You might purchase these books on Amazon or your independent bookstores. Black Flora profiles African Americans in the floristry business, from flower farmers, floral designers, and well, you'll have to get the book to see. And the Urban Garden, 101 Ways to Grow Food and Beauty in the City, co-author Kathy Gents of Washington Garden Magazine and I came together and compiled some ideas that might prove inspirational as you begin your 2022 garden journey. So, let's get out there and garden. What are we waiting for?